Remember yesterday, what we had in mind was making some sense of the Mishnah at the beginning. I want to go over with you some of the problems in the Mishnah so that you can understand what we're up against. And then what I'm going to do is learn through the sugya the way the Rambam understands the sugya, which in my humble opinion is the only possible way to make any real sense of this Gemara. And everybody else has left many serious issues just hanging. And the only one that really addresses everything that I know of is the Rambam. So once again, yesterday, we'll review the Mishnah Gufa, and then we'll talk about the problems in the Mishnah. So Misha Yatane, Obederech Rechoka, V'lo Asa Et HaRishon, Yaseh Et HaSheni. Okay, but, continues the Mishnah, that's not really only about a Tame or Obederech Rechoka, because any case where a person was shagag, or nenas, the lo asah et harishon, he would also be yaseh et hasheni, which of course makes you wonder, if that's the case, then why does it say tamei o shahaya b'derech rechoka? Well, the difference is that those cases are potter from koras if they didn't end up doing the Pesach. But the other ones are chayev in koras. Now, the question of how to read the words, but the other ones are chayev b'koras, are a little bit problematic. Because how could a shagag or nenas be chayev in koras? You aren't chayev in koras if you were shagag v'nenas. Now, that led us yesterday to conclude, and this was the argument of Rav Sheshes, that there must be invisible cases in the Mishnah that we are referring to. And those invisible cases are merumas in the words, velo asa et harishon, which are nonsensical words. Because the moment you say that the guy was tamei or bederech rechoka, of course he was lo asa et harishon, because he couldn't. The moment you say that the guy was shagag or honest, that then you're saying, if he was shagag va'onas berishon, that means he didn't do it. Why do you have to say if he was a shagag and onas and didn't do it? But that's what we're saying, if he was a shagag and onas. Therefore, there are two ramuz cases. They are intimated cases, and those intimated cases, this is Rav Sheshes' approach to the Mishnah, those intimated cases are the cases that we are referring to when we say, but those are potter from karas. Okay, what are the intimated cases? So according to Rav Sheshes, the intimated cases would be that if someone was shagag or onus, and even lo asat ha-pesach harishon, meaning even if he was amazed v'lo asat ha-pesach harishon, he can still bring the Pesach Sheni. And therefore, if that's the case, why mention only the cases of tamei v'derech rechoka? Because the mezid will be chayev koras if he doesn't bring his Pesach, whereas the other ones won't. And what is in the first case? The remez to v'lo asah et harishon. That is a remez to someone who did not bring the korban Pesach because he was an onin. And if he was an onin, so then he would be chayev koras in the event that he didn't bring it, even though the reason that he didn't bring it was b'shogeg. So you'll say, what's the difference, as Tosfos says? If he could have brought it and didn't bring it, he's just another mezid, so why bring another case of mezid? All right, so we're bringing two options for mezid. Fine. This is how Rashi understands the sugya, Aliba de Rav Sheshes. Aliba de Rav Nachman, gentlemen, the Reisha and the Seifa are using the words v'lo asah et harishon in different ways. The Reisha is using the word v'lo asah et harishon to mean that if the person was tamei or b'derech rechoka and they could have brought the korban Pesach, but they chose to take advantage of the fact that the Torah was allowing them not to have to rush in by running or taking a taxi or a private helicopter, which they could have taken but didn't. The Torah is saying you do not have to take the private helicopter, and it's okay if you put off your korban till Pesach Sheni. That's why, according to Reb Nachman, it says v'lo asah et harishon, meaning you could have, but you didn't. You didn't because you didn't want to take a private helicopter. Now, that's a perfectly clear way of understanding the word v'lo asat harishon, which would then be a reference back to the opening two cases of Mishaya Tameh or Derech Rechoka, or at least to the case of Derech Rechoka. Now, there's even a way that it could be a remez to the Mishaya Tameh, which I want to point out to you because it's an additional confusing point of the Mishnah. If you hold that ein shochatim v'zorkim al tamei sheretz, then the words v'lo asat harishon would mean, and you chose not to go to the mikveh, which you could have, but you chose not to, and then the Torah included you in Pesach Sheni, correct? So the words v'lo asat harishon are meaningful, according to Reb Nachman, however you look at it. Now, yes, the Kamla Parcha is a helicopter. So, the question, therefore, is what do you do with the second v'lo asa? Since it's a little bit ridiculous to talk about a person who's tied to a tree or a person who doesn't even know that it's Pesach, and I think we're calling him the Shagag, why do I need to say v'lo asa tarishon? Isn't that the whole point? Ah, says Reb Nachman, yes. The use of the words v'lo asa tarishon in the Seifa indeed is coming to be merames on an additional case of mezid. That I agree. And if you insist in understanding that elu peturin mi'akaret ve'elu chayavin bahikaret is a reference to the Ramus cases, then the use of the word chayavim, which is b'lashon rabim, is inappropriate and is only used to keep the Mishnah parallel. Moshe, if you don't sit down and pay close attention, you will not understand the sugya. Even now that you're late, I don't believe you're going to be able to understand the sugya. But you're welcome to try, but you must sit down and stop wandering about and concentrate. So therefore, says Reb Nachman, if, in fact, you insist on learning the Mishnah that way, and that there is a reference to unmentioned cases, then your question will be that elu chayavin means vehu chayav, meaning the mezid is chayav bekaret. Now, please note, gentlemen, that no matter how you learn the Mishnah, whether it's like Reb Nachman or like Reb Sheshet, in the aforementioned description of the Mishnah makes no sense. And it's because of that that we cannot end the sugya by looking at the Mishnah that way. The reason that the Mishnah makes no sense is because it never answered the obvious question that it was asking. It was asking, any idiot who reads the Mishnah sees what the Mishnah is saying, Kipshuta. Mishaya b'tameh o b'derech rechoka should make the Pesach Sheni. And not only that, really anybody would make a Pesach Sheni, even if he was a shogeg or an eines, or for that matter, even a mezid. He also makes a Pesach Sheni. So then, what is the point of mentioning the Tameh or B'derech Rechoka? If even all of the others make the Pesach Sheni? Okay, and the answer is, I don't have the slightest idea. I never answered that question. If you're telling me Elu Chayavim B'Hikaret is a reference to other unmentioned cases, and not to the cases under discussion of Shagag Onenas, which is what the Mishnah's kasha was, why mention Tamei V'Haya B'Derech Rechoka if you've got the Shagag Onenas in any case? And then you answer, well, there's other cases. But that wasn't my question, damn it. My question was, why mention the Tamei B'Derech Rechoka if you're going to tell me that anybody with Shagag Onenas makes a Pesach Sheni? That was my question. Answer it. So then the Mishnah never answered the question. If we read the Mishnah the way we just did, which is how Rashi understands the Mishnah. Furthermore, as Rashi himself points out, or someone points out in the Rashi, maybe someone added it, it's not clear because it doesn't appear in all of the Rashis, but as Rashi himself points out, why for God's sake? The very question is nonsensical. Why mention Mishaya Tameh B'Derech Rechoka? What do you mean, why mention? Because I need to know the fact that someone who is Tameh is not going to be bringing the Korban Pesach, don't I? I mean, after all, they came to Moshe and they said, just because we're Tameh, doesn't seem to be fair that we shouldn't be able to bring the Korban with the rest of Klal Yisrael. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look, fair, not fair, what can you do? You bring a Pesach Sheni. Don't I need to know that? And according to Reb Sheshes, it's even more insane. Because remember that Reb Nachman and Reb Sheshes have another sub-machlokas. Can I or can I not send my Korban Pesach with a telephone call if I know that I will be arriving in time to eat it for the Seder? So I'm Bederech Rechoka, and I want to come later and eat the Pesach Rishon. Reb Nachman says, sure you can, no problem. But Reb Sheshes says, no, you can't, because you're just like the Tamei. But if that is the case, how could the Mishnah ask such a dumb question? So why does it say Tamei V'haya Bederech Rechoka? What do you mean, why does it say? It says it because it's teaching me that I'm sorry, you do not have the right to make a telephone call and ask someone to make the carbon for you and come tonight. Tough. Isn't that a very good reason to specify Tamei V'haya Bederech Rechoka? Yes. So therefore, the Mishnah is ridiculous. It doesn't answer the question that it asked, and it had no right to ask the question because the question has another built-in answer. The reason it mentions Tamei V'Derech Rechoka is in order to teach me the fact that a Tamei V'Derech Rechoka do not have the option of bringing their Korban Pesach. Correct? Does everybody understand how crazy the Mishnah is? Good. Now let me tell you the pshat in the Mishnah, according to the total ingeniousness of the Rambam, and you will see when we read the sugya how easy it is to get mixed up and not understand things correctly. The Rambam says, we're not talking about the pasuk of Mishaya Tamei V'Derech Rechoka, where over there the Torah says, yes, you're 100% correct, Ish. Now listen carefully, there are two sugya. The first pasuk is, when they ask Moshe, what should we do? It's not fair. Daber el b'nei Yisrael lemor. Ish ki yeh tamei lanefesh. O b'derech rechoka lachem. O l'dorotechem. V'asa pesach l'Hashem b'chodesh hasheni, and so on and so forth. That is one pasuk of tamei v'derech rechoka. The reason that it says that pasuk is obvious. I need to know the fact that a Tamei V'Derech Rechoka, whether you hold, he could have really sent it, whether you hold Shochtim V'Zorik, and whatever it is that you hold. However you understand the pasuk, it's telling you that there are cases that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not allow you to send your Korban Pesach, right? Or gives you an option to use another Korban Pesach, depending on what shot you learn. I don't care. But the point is that pasuk is about as necessary and as mechadesh as any pasuk in the Torah ever was. So no one in his right mind would ask, why write that pasuk? And it's a unique pasuk that refers only to a Tamei V'haya V'Derech Rechoka in terms of that chiddush. Obviously, if a person is tied to a tree, he didn't bring his carbon pesach. I don't need a chiddush for that. That follows that if there is a pesach sheni, so go bring your pesach sheni. But there's another pasuk. And that's the pasuk that the Mishnah is referring to. And that pasuk goes like this. After we tell you about the Pesach Sheni, we then tell you, V'ya'ish asher hu tahor uvaderech lo haya. Get that? If somebody was tahor and not tamei. So I'm not referring to a tamei. I'm only referring to a person who's tahor. And he wasn't bederech rechoka, uvaderech lo haya. So I'm not referring to him. V'chadal asot ha-pesach, then v'nichreta nefesh ha'imi ha'mea, ki korban Hashem lo ikrivu mo'ado, chet o yisa ishahu. That is the question. If you're telling me that anybody could bring a korban Pesach Sheni, no matter what the reason was, he didn't feel like coming, he was amazing. He was tied to a tree, he was an onus. He didn't know it was Pesach, he was a shogeg. He was a tamei. He was Bederech Rechoka. He was an Onin. They're all exactly the same. So why the heck does the Torah mention that only an Ish Asher Hu Tahor Uvaderech Lo Haya, only he is somebody who would be V'nichrata Nefesh Ahi? Why isn't everybody who didn't make up the missed Korban Pesach V'nichrata Nefesh Ahi, including people who were Bederech Rechoka and Tamei? That's the Mishnah's question. Answers the Mishnah, because that's the whole point. The Torah is telling you without any reason that if a guy was Tameh, and if a guy was B'derech Rechoka, he will never be Chayev Koras, even if he purposely doesn't bring the Pesach Sheni. That's what the Mishnah is saying. So if everybody can bring a Pesach Sheni, asks the Mishnah, and it's all the same, why did you tell me that in order to be Chayev Koras, you can't be a person who was Tameh and B'derech Rechoka? Because, answered the Mishnah, everyone else, for any reason at all, that they didn't bring the Pesach Rishon, could have brought the Pesach Sheni. But if they didn't, and they were mazed in not doing it, they would be Chayev, except for those two cases. They will never be Chayev Koras for missing Pesach, even if they've been mazed, don't bring the Pesach Sheni. Ha! Now, is that brilliant or not? And that is how the Rambam paskins based on this Gemara. And of course, everybody else goes, oh, says the Rav, and he says to himself, first he paskins that the halacha is that there is koras on Pesach Sheni. Then he says, there's no koras on Pesach Sheni. If you're a Tomei v'derech Rechoka, make up your mind. Says the Kesem Mishnah, what do you mean, make up your mind? It's a Beferish Apasik. All other cases, yes, you're Chayev koras for Pesach Sheni, of course. It says so in the Pasik, the way Rebbe learns it, as we'll see. But this case, it says, Beferish in the Pasuk, your potter. It's a unique case, and that's the whole point of the Mishnah. That's why it mentions it. Not in the first Pasuk, in the second Pasuk. Which means that all of the balagan about, so why does it say, how can you ask the question? Why didn't Reb Nachman prove from the very fact that the Mishnah asks the question that obviously there is no Chiddush in telling me the Toyo B'derech Rechoka? That's the first Pasuk. It's irrelevant. Of course, the first Pasuk is a Chiddush, according to anybody. Okay, now that is the Rambam's approach. Now let's take a look and see how it fits into the Gemara and how easy it is to get confused if you don't have the right shot throughout the Sugya. But we can learn this Mishnah like the Rambam and be perfectly happy that the Rambam gave us the information to understand the entire sugya perfectly, and then we'll see the next Mishnah follows even more beautifully according to the way that he's learning. Okay, so we'll continue today with where we got up to yesterday, which was at the, now I'll go today's daf in Masechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh. It could be, Benny, you'd want to append that introduction to yesterday's daf and start right here. Whatever you think. And today's daf is daf Tzadik Gimel, and we got up to Omer of Sheshes, one line up from the bottom of Amud Beit, Tzadik Beit Amud Beit. So Omer of Sheshes, so Reb Sheshes, who says that you do not have an option to telephone in your Korban Pesach and to get there in time to eat it while you put in a telephone or internet order, that is not going to work. I'll prove it to you. Says Reb Sheshes, let me prove it to you. D'tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer, ne'emar tamei ve'ne'emar b'derech rechoka. If the Torah puts these two things together, is it not true that the tamei would love to bring his Pesach? He's wanting to bring his Pesach. He's dying to bring his Pesach. And he's standing right there with his money and his korban, but he's not allowed to do his Pesach, right? So it's biyado lasot, but he can't. We're not letting him. Av derech rechoka is the same thing. He wants to bring the Pesach. He's phoning to bring the Pesach. Okay, but we're not letting him. So you see that according to Rabbi Akiva, Reb Sheshes is 100% correct. We will not allow you to phone in your Korban Pesach, even though you will be there tonight to eat it. See, says Reb Sheshes. Says Reb Nachman, what does that prove? That only is true according to Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva's shita is that ein shochtim v'zorkin al tamei sheretz. So then he's right in saying that I want to bring my Korban Pesach, but you won't let me. Yeah, but I say shochtim v'zorkin al tamei sheretz. So therefore, it isn't even true about the tamei. What do you mean? If he wants to send the Korban Pesach, who's not letting him? Why can't he put in a telephone order for the Korban Pesach and get Tahor by the nighttime? He could. Uh-huh. So therefore, on the contrary, I'm not, look, there's plenty of shitas that don't hold like Rabbi Akiva in terms of Shochtim V'Zorkin Al-Tamei Sheretz. Don't try to bring me a raya from Rabbi Akiva. I hold like those other shitas. So what do you want from me? So Rabbi Akiva is going, L'taymi D'Kasova in Shochtim V'Zorkin Al-Tamei Sheretz. But I don't hold like that. I hold like the Mandi Armin that we've had quite a few of before, that Shochtim V'Zorkin Al-Tamei Sheretz. So it doesn't matter to me. I don't see that there's any comparison. There's a perfect comparison. They could both bring it. Don't tell me I'll learn out from Tamei that neither can bring it. Okay. Tana Rabbana. Elu Shosina Tasheni. All the following Tuma, people that can't bring the Rishon can bring the Sheni. A Zav or a Zav. A Mitzora, masculine, or a Mitzora, feminine. Nidais, females. Boalei Nidais, males. Yoldais, females. And for that matter, Shogegin, Anusim, Mezidim, and the Tamei that was mentioned in the Torah, and Shahaya B'derech Rechoka. So if that's the case, why did the mention, the Torah bother mentioning him? Kein Loma Ne'emar Tamei. So why did it say to me, Lama Ne'emar Tamei? What are you crazy? What do you mean, Lama Ne'emar Tamei? No, I mean, Lama, I mean, the Tamei, I need to know because we don't let him bring it, no? The Eboilam Evet Brishon, I mean, the case that's given in the Torah could be a Tamei Mesa on the sixth day, not necessarily on Tamei Sheretz, whatever the case is, but why mention it? If any Tamei, what's this whole deal? There were people, Tamei Lenefesh, Adam, I mean, that's like just a regular case, you know? Could have been a Zov, Zava, Nida, Boil, Nida, Yoledas, whatever. So why mention the case? Ah, that's a stupid question. Why mention the case? We mention the case because we need to know that, in fact, you're not allowed to. We're not going to let you. No, I didn't mean that. I mean, Im kein lama nemar b'derech rechoka. So why does it say b'derech rechoka? Now, obviously, the answer should be to that same thing, to tell me that we don't let you. Ah, but this braita is taking for granted Reb Nachman Shita that we do let you and that you can phone in your order. And the only case where you wouldn't be allowed to phone in your order is if you're tamei meis on shishi, chamishi, whatever, where you won't be able to eat it tonight, right? Okay. So, therefore, why does it say it? Ah, I'll tell you why it says it. To tell me that you're potter from chorus if you end up not doing it. Even on the sheni, you're going to be potter from chorus. Whoa, that's a big kiddush. Yep, right you are. But that's why the Torah wants to tell me that case. Okay. But this would be obviously like Reb Nachman. Command the Yomar Hurtzah, that if you did send in your carbon from afar, it would be kosher. And that's why it doesn't answer. What do you mean? Why does it say it? It says it to tell me you can't, because you can. Then it's Reb Nachman's approach. Okay. Ask the Gemara, but wait a minute. It isn't true, all of this stuff. Yoldot, Zavot, Nidot. Are you saying that a woman would have to bring a Pesach Sheni? Didn't we have in a Braita? Now, you might think the only ones that are allowed to do a Pesach Sheni are indeed the cases mentioned in the Torah, which is the Tamei Nefesh and the Hayah B'Derech Rechoka. How do you know that any Zov, any Mitzora, any Boalei Nidais, well, that's very strange. I mean, how can you be Boel Anida if there isn't a Nida? Why are we mentioning the males and very, very scrupulously avoiding any mention of the females, even when it's only the females that are the source of the tomb of the males? There's something very funny around here. So if it's only mentioning the males and we're being marba, all of these other male problems, Mitzorayim, Zavim, Boel Anidais, that Talmud Lomar, Ish, ish, kietame, that's the ish, ish. Only ish, however, no women. I'd explain that. So why did we say zavot? Why did we say nidot? Why did we say yoldot? Here it's saying no, it's anybody that's tame as long as they're male. No, what's the big deal? Come on, you know that that's a machlokas. We had that before, lokasha. Harib Yossi, Harib Yodav, Rabbi Shimon. Remember, we had the whole discussion. Are women a chiyav in the sheni? Well, according to Rabbi Yossi, yeah, the mamash a chiyav in the sheni. And then we had the further machlokas about Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. If you make them a tefela on the sheni, you make them a tefela on the rishon. Okay, fine. That has nothing to do with us right now. That's an aside. All right. Now, listen to this. At last, we get into the meat of the issue over here. What is the relationship between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni? Now, in order to understand the three different shitas that we have over here, we need to be aware of the pasuk that it's all based on in full awareness. So please listen to the implications of the pasuk. Ve'ha'ish asher hu tahor uvaderech lo haya. All right, so we're not talking about those special cases because, as the Rambam explained, and as we just explained to you in the Mishnah, those are two special cases. We're not talking about them because the Pasuk, just by divine fiat, has told you that these people were potter in Pesach Rishon. And if they were potter in Pesach Rishon, they can never be chayev again, even if they are terrible mezidim and they bedafka refuse to bring their carbon Pesach in Pesach Sheni, they will not be chayev, ever. Okay, so first the Pasuk says, okay, but forget about that group. Forget about the Tomei and the Haya B'derech Rechoka. Other people. V'chadal ha'asot ha'Pesach v'nichrat ha'nefesh ha'himi ha'meha. So if they didn't bring their carbon Pesach, then they're chayev carbon, chores. And then it says something utterly ridiculous. You know why? Ki korban Hashem lo ikriv b'moado, because they didn't bring the korban, cheto yisa yishahu, therefore they're chayev kores. So, you just said that. You said, if they don't bring the korban Pesach, so they're chayev kores. You don't have to explain to me. And you know why? Because they didn't bring the korban. That's weird. Okay. So then, first of all, we need to understand, do the closing words, cheto yisa yishahu, does that, and remember that related to the question of the woman in the Pesach Sheni, is it Ha'ish and not an Isha, and so on and so forth, right? Okay, that we had discussed earlier. The question that we have now is the word Cheto Yisa Ha'ishahu just repetitive and telling me again that there's a Chi of Chorus, and we always knew that there was a Chi of Chorus anyway, because it said V'nichrata Nefesh Ha'hi, in which case we would have very strong reason to believe that the last part of the Pasuk is not a repetition, it's talking about something different, namely the Pesach Sheni. So the first part of the Pasuk was saying, look, if you were never able to do anything about your Pesach Rishon, and you didn't do it for no reason, for Chadal HaSot HaPesach, you would be Chayev Kores. V'nichrata, that's Pesach Rishon. When it comes to Pesach Sheni, then we have this other thing. Ki Korban Hashem Lo Hikri B'Mohado, you had an opportunity to bring that Pesach Sheni, and you don't bring that Pesach Sheni, Cheto Yisa Yishahu, then you're Chayev Kores, right? If the second part of the Pasuk is referring to the Pesach Sheni, then we've got two separate Chiyuvim, a Chiyuv Kores for somebody who never took advantage of the Pesach Sheni because he was Chayev and he was Chadal HaSot HaPesach. But then we've got a question. I mean, what if he's a Shogeg? What if he's an Ones? You can't be a Chayev, a guy, for a Shogeg or an Ones. Ah! So then we have the second part of Pasuk. And this bum never brought his Pesach Sheni, the Korban Hashem, that he was supposed to bring b'moado, and he didn't. So he's Chayev Kores again for not bringing the second one. Cheto Yisa Yishahu, you see? So if you learn the Pasuk like that, so then we've got two separate mentions of Kores. And that seems to be the simple meaning of the Pasuk. That the Pasuk is saying, look, you are definitely going to be Chayev on that Pesach Rishon, and you're going to be chayev separately on that Pesach Sheni. So even if you missed the Pesach Rishon b'shogeg, but then you went out b'davka not to bring the Pesach Sheni, you didn't take advantage of it. So then it turns out that b'mezid, you missed your Korban Pesach. That would be the way to understand the Pasuk. The problem is, if you don't understand the word chet o yisa as referring to Kores, then we've got problems, because then it's not a full repetition. Now this, what would the distinction be in how we read the Pasuk? The distinction how we read the Pasuk is a grammar question. Because remember, in Hebrew, as Rashi has taught us again and again and again, the word ki is a key word, and it has many different meanings. So the simple reading of ki here, which would mean because, ki korban Hashem lo ikri b'moado, that would turn it into completely redundant. Why are you giving me reasons? But ki could mean if, in the event that, then, if you didn't bring your Korban Pesach Sheni, then the first part goes into effect. And as we'll see, there are other options. So really all is a question of what we view the relationship is between the first part of the pasuk and the second part of the pasuk. And that is kulo, a key issue. And therefore, let us take a look at the shitas that we have over here in the Gemara about how to darshan that pasuk. Okay, so these are the three shitot, says the Gemara. Tana Rabban. Chayav karet al rishon v'chayav karet al hasheni. Divrei Rebbe. Now, obviously, this doesn't mean that the same person can be chayav twice, because it's very difficult to kill a guy twice, whatever the karet means. Even if you're God, you have a hard time doing a logically inconsistent thing. So you can't give him karet twice. Now, obviously, normally, this would make a lot of sense, because every chayav karet is a chayav of a korban chatas. So then it would mean he needs to bring two korban chatas. The problem is that the mitzvah of bringing a korban pesach is a mitzvah taseh. And there's no chatas on a mitzvah taseh. There's only a chatas on a mitzvah lo taseh, because we learn all of the dinim of chatos out from Avodas Kochavim, remember? Okay, so what does this mean? So it must mean that there are two different yomim tovim, one Pesach Rishon, one Pesach Sheni. You would be chayev separately on Pesach Rishon or on Pesach Sheni, even if you weren't chayev in Pesach Rishon. Let's say you weren't Jewish during Pesach Rishon. Let's say you were a katan in Pesach Rishon, and now you grew up or you became a ger between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni. It's a separate chayev, a separate holiday, a separate karas, and you could end up being chayev just on that second one. So that would be one way of reading the pasuk, and that the two things are completely unrelated, in which case the key word would be just the meaning of if it happens, and not because or in the event, but rather asher. So ki kare kan sipor. What does that mean? Because? No. When this happens, it could mean when, kasher. So it's what the lashon of asher, not an explanation of why, not because. Okay, that's how he understands the pasuk, Rebbe. So therefore, it's two separate things. Rebbe Nosson says, no, you're only chayav koras al harishon. You wouldn't be chayav koras on the sheni. And Rebbe Hananya ben Akavya Omer, no, you're never chayav koras unless the second one finished without you're bringing your korban b'mezid. It's all one thing. That's how to understand it. So if you were chadala sota pesach on purpose, and you were on purposely refused to bring your korban on the second, so you were amazed all the way through, then v'nichrita. But there would be no way to be chayev koras only for missing your pesach rishon. So that would mean that according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, this Pesach Sheni is an extension of the Pesach Rishon, and the very fact that it exists means we can't deal with the Pesach Rishon alone. Therefore, your mazid of not bringing the Pesach was only completed a month later when you didn't bring the Pesach at all on purpose, not Rishon, not Pesheni. But if for some reason you couldn't bring the Pesach, you forgot it was Pesach Sheni or whatever, we can't be Mechayev you just because you did a Mezid on Pesach Rishon, because you didn't finish the Mezid. You, it's all one holiday, and gee, oy, I forgot I had the option of making up for it. So, okay, so then there was no Chi of Chorus on people that are Beshogeg. Okay, so we've got three very different approaches, and the Gemara will speak them out. So therefore, what are the three shitot? They're all ozu l'tamayu. They're all going according to their way of viewing the entire circuit. Tanya, ger shenitgayer ben shnei apsachim, v'chein katan shigdil ben shnei apsachim. So if somebody only became chayev, either because he grew up or because he became a ger, and he was never chayev in Pesach Rishon, he would still have to make the Pesach Sheni, according to Rebbe, because Rebbe is, as we'll see, going to read the pasuk as two completely separate events. The first is the Kares V'nichrata Nefesh Hayi, the Korban Hashem Lo Asa B'Ma'ado is the Pesach Rishon, and then, the Chadal Asot HaPesach is the Pesach Rishon and the Chadal, and the second one, Korban Hashem Lo Ikriv B'Ma'ado, is Pesach Sheni. So he's got a separate chiyuv. That's Rebbe's approach. Okay, so then Rebbe was being very consistent. Rebbe Nosson says, no. Kosh zakuk l'rishon, zakuk l'sheni. Kosha eino zakuk l'rishon, eino zakuk l'sheni. So what are they arguing on? It's very simple. Rebbe understands that the sheni is a rega b'fnei atzmo. Rebbe Nosson holds, no, this Pesach sheni is an opportunity to pay up what you missed in the rishon. So therefore, it's a tashlumi l'rishon. But it's not a tikkun l'rishon, which the Rambam understands as meaning. Its existence is not a tikkun l'rishon. In other words, the very fact that you have an option to bring the Pesach Sheni, that does not mean that now, if you an accident happened and you didn't bring it, that now you're potter because the Pesach Sheni is the tikkun of the Pesach. It's not the tikkun. It's a tashlumin. If you paid your tashlumin, fine. If you didn't pay your tashlumin, what are you telling me? But I forgot. You forgot, but you didn't forget a Pesach Rishon, did you? No, but I had the option of paying it up. Okay, good. Did you? No, but thank you. You're dead. Okay, so that's precisely the difference between them. There's a big difference between tashlumin, which if you don't pay, you could say, but I had an option to pay. Thank you very much. You didn't use your option. Or holding as Reb Chananya holds, that actually it's really a tikkun l'rishon because it's just an extension. You still have that option not to pay back, but to give you still more time. That's not paying back. Okay, but I forgot. Oh, you forgot. Okay, we can't be b'chayev you, chorus, I'm forgetting. Yeah, but he's a no good Nick. Bedavka didn't bring the first one. I understand, but he still has time. It's all one long time, you see. That's the difference between the three shitot, according to the Rambam. Okay, so everything is very, very clear in the separate shitot, and we'll see how they differ in terms of their learning the pasuk. So therefore, the machlokas Rebbe holds rego b'fnei atzmo, Rebbe Nosson holds sheni is tashlumi d'rishon, but it's not a tikkun l'rishon, and Rebbe Chananya ben Akavya says, no, the second one is an extension. It's not a payback opportunity. It's an actual takona of the Rishon. And because of that, you had this Pesach Sheni. You don't have to actually pay back because it's not Tashlumin. The only way you would be Chayev would be if you were mazed both times. Then you would be Chayev because then you missed your entire month-long opportunity to bring the Korban Pesach. Fine. Now, Rabbi Chananya, Shloshtan, rather, Mikra Echadosh. Now, all of them are going to be looking at our pasuk and are going to be reading that key word in a different way. And all of that is going to be based on whether it's really repetitious when it says Cheto Yisa Ha'ish Ahu, as we will see. So the first way we read it was V'chadal La'asot HaPesach V'nichrata. That's Pesach Rishon. Okay. Or, now here comes the other, that the or E, so this means E nami, that or, this is the key word, would then mean if it happens either that Korban Hashem lo ikriv b'moado, which Korban was that? That was the Moado of the Korban Pesach Sheni, then Cheto Yisa. And what makes you say that Cheto Yisa means that then he would be separately Chayev Karet? Because Rebbe holds that when it says, as Hashem hu megadev v'nichrata, the meaning of Giduf Hashem is blasphemy. And therefore, it's repetitious because it says also the At Hashem HaMigadev, the V'nichrata, but it also says Ish Asher the Yikalel Elohav V'nasa Cheto. Now, if the Megadev is the same thing as the Yikalel Elohav, then that would mean that the Nasa Cheto is a reference to Karet because it says V'nichrata HaNefesh. So therefore, according to Rebbe, the last part of the pasuk is simply a repetitive way of telling me karet, but I already knew karet. Exactly. The second case is a different case. The first part was referring to Pesach Rishon. The second part is referring to Korban Hashem lo ikriv b'moado, is the second Pesach, and Cheto Yisa is a new description of karet, which means that the word ki in the middle is or if. Great, beautiful way to read the pasuk. It's precisely the way the Rambam reads the pasuk. Paskins like Rebbe points out to the Ravid, you don't know what you're talking about. The pasuk is obviously only discussing all cases other than the case mentioned of Asher lo haya b'derech rechoka, or ish tahor asher haya tahor. But if he wasn't tahor, haya b'derech rechoka. None of this applies. Don't you know how to read a pasuk, for God's sake? And therefore, the question and the proof of the pudding is, it says in the Mishnah. Why then does it say only the tamei and haya b'derech rechoka? Exactly, as is referred to this pasuk. Okay, so this is absolutely clear. Now, so the Gomar Hai Cheto Daracha, Mi Cheto Daasam. So when it says Cheto over here, Cheto Yisrael, he's learning it out of Megadeh from Mevorech Hashem. Just like over there, it says Beferish V'nichrita, Afkan V'nichrita. Rabbi Natsin says, no, there's only one V'nichrita. V'chadal Asot HaPesach V'nichrita. Then the word Ki has to mean because. That's one of the four Lashonos of Ki, is Deha. Because since he wasn't makriv the korban Hashem b'moado, meaning in the Rishon, which is the Moed, so then why does it say, excuse me, Rabbi Nosson, but why does it say Cheto Yisa? No, you don't understand. It's the exact opposite of Rabbi. Cheto Yisa is only mentioned over here to teach me that Cheto Yisa in the case of the Mevorech Es Hashem is Kares. Because over there it only says Vinasa Cheto. How do I know that that's Kares? What do you mean? It says Hashem u Megadev v'nichra. No, I hold that a Megadev is not a Mevorech as Hashem. I'm sorry. A Megadev is talking about somebody who uses his voice to sing and dance for Avodah Zarah, stuff like that. But it's nothing to do with being Mekalel as Hashem. That's the point. So how do I now know that a Mekalel as Hashem, where it says Vinasa Cheto, that means Kares? I learned out of Korban Pesach, the exact opposite of you. Because since the V'nichrita in the beginning of the Pasuk is the same V'nichrita that's referring to the key Korban Hashem, Lo Hikriv Mo'ado, which is Pesach Rishon, Cheto Yisa, even a Mevorech as Hashem. Which means that according to him, Korban Pesach is not only the key to understanding all of the issues of Achila and all of the Dinim of Bittul and everything else in the world, it's also the source of Cheto Yisa being a key of Kores, which is crazy. Fine. So now I'm going to know Mevorech as Hashem. I will know from the Korban Pesach. Okay. So then according to me, this Lashon of the key would be because. So key is Lashon Daha. Since, because Korban Hashem lo hikriv b'moado, meaning back in Pesach Rishon, so then Cheto Yisa, what does he do? Kasar v'megadev lav hayinu mevorech Hashem, and therefore he uses Cheto of Cheto Yisa by mevorech Hashem. He has to learn it out from this Cheto Yisa d'ahacha by Korban Pesach. Just like by Korban Pesach, it's obviously a reference to Karet, as it says in the beginning of the Pasuk, so too a mevorech Hashem, Cheto Yisa is a reference to Karet. Okay, now Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, he holds that if you bring your Korban Pesach, the very fact that you could have brought a Pesach Sheni means that it's all one long term, and if you were a Shogeg, you would not be Chayav, even if you were a Beis Din Pesach Rishon. So how does he learn the Pasuk? Well, he says, V'chadal la'asot ha-Pesach v'nichrata, only if, now that's the new understanding of Ki, that means, on condition, in other words, that if you did not bring the Korban Hashem b'moado b'sheni, then and only then would you be chayev for not bringing your Korban Pesach. Well, I mean, but if you were shogeg, of course, you would be potter. That's the point. So therefore, according to him, the if is a conditional key, not kasher, stam, when something like this happens, but only conditionally if. That's the point. So according to Rabbi Hananya ben Taradya, e korban Hashem lo hikriv b'moado, meaning b'sheni, so then he's going to be chayav b'risha. And what does he do with Cheto Yisa? No, he agrees with Rabbi Nosson, like we just said. Okay, therefore, let us just go over the bottom line according to all three shitot. Suppose you were amazed across the board. You were amazed b'rishon, you were amazed b'sheni, everybody agrees you're chayiv. All three shittas agree that you're chayiv, right? Because, I mean, there was no one who said that you could be mazid in both and be putter from Karas. So therefore, hezid b'zeh b'zeh, for sure, you're going to be chayiv. Let's say you were shogag b'zeh u'b'zeh. Everybody is made that you're putter. Because even if you hold that it's tashlumin and so on, and you didn't bring your tashlumin, but it was not that I did that on purpose. So you're not, can't be, the whole point is that if you offered me the option of bringing the carbon pesach b'sheni, so then if I'm a shogeg on it, I can't be all of a sudden chayev again. So therefore, everybody would be meida in a case where you were shogeg across the board, that you would be potter. Now, the question is, suppose you were a mezid b'rishon, and then you made a mistake and didn't bring it b'sheni. So then according to Rebbe and Rebbe Natan, well, it's tashlumin, my friends. Did you pay? No, I didn't pay, but I could have paid. Oh, who cares if you could have paid? You were amazed on the Rishon and you didn't pay it up. So now you're going to be chayev for being amazed on the Rishon, even if you were a shogeg on the Sheni. Only according to Rebbe. So in that case, if you were hazed b'Rishon, then a Rebbe or Rebbe Nasir, you'd be chayev. Of course, according to Rebbe Hananya ben Akavya, it doesn't matter that you were amazed at Barishon because they're both all one long opportunity to bring a carbon pesach, and you were a shogag, and ultimately you were shogag in the fact that you didn't bring your carbon pesach because at the last minute you were a shogag. Okay, so we can't be machai of you. Shogag Barishon, vehezid bashini. Suppose it was an accident, Barishon. What kind of accident? Not the case of Tomei Voyab Derech Rechoka. That accident is never chayev, as the Rambam explained, with some other accident. Okay, so whatever the other accident was, according to Rebbe, you'd be chayev. Because the fact is, if b'mezid, you didn't bring the sheni, then you had an option of having that second holiday of Pesach, and you messed it up. And it says b'feresh, cheto yisah, that there's a new chiyev karis for not bringing it on the second one. I don't care the fact that the first one was a terrible accident and so on. You're still going to be chayev. Now, obviously, that's not true if the problem of the first one was that you were bederech rechoka or you were tamei. And even though we're shouting our lungs out, but that's ridiculous. The guy that was bederech rechoka even had the option of bringing it if he wanted to, according to Nachman. So for sure he should be chayev. No. Not true, because the Torah said, Mishaya Tahor Uva Derech Lohaya. And I was Baderech. That's the point. Fantastic. Okay. Now, the difference would be, according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, and only according to Rabbi Hananya ben Akavya, I would still be Potter. Okay. So now we have a strong understanding of the Sugya. Let's see how beautifully it works into the next Mishnah, again, according to the Rambam. And we will ask our favorite Kapitan, give us a melodious non-foghorn introduction, because there's lots of sun out there. We don't need the foghorn this morning. Just give us Hallel. There we go. It's amazing when the Kapitan is the grandson of a great chazan, and he's also the one who shows off the foghorn when necessary. You know that you get the full range, what you need for your Mishnah. So today's happy Mishnah is a Zohi Derech Rechoka. What defines the Derech Rechoka? Well, how far is far? Far is min ha-modi'in v'lachutz. It's the distance from Modi'in to Yerushalayim, which we'll see is 15 kilometers. We'll see in the Gemara. U'chamidata l'kol ruach, and that distance in all directions. It doesn't mean only from Modin, obviously. So says Rabbi Akiva, because that's the meaning of Rechoka, as we'll see where we get that from in the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer says Rechoka simply means you are not there. So if you are outside of the Azorah, Mies Kufata Azorah Velachutz, that's also called Rechoka. Omar Le Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi points out to Rabbi Akiva, yes, take a look at that hay. Why do you think there is a dot in the Sefer Torah on top of the hay, okay? It's to tell me that it doesn't really mean rechoka. It means lo mipnei sherachok vadai, ela meizkuf vadai zor v'lachot. So according to the Yerushalmi, what this means is the hay, a dot, always removes that letter. So then read it as rechok. That is to say, not that you are far away on the derech rechoka, but rather that your ability to do the thing is beyond you. Just means beyond. That's all. Now, this is ridiculous. if you're right outside, why can't you come in? And isn't that not considered to be amazing? I don't understand. So then anybody who doesn't come in to do his Karban Pesach is Bederech Rechoka, and he's butter, because the Torah says, well, then it's no problem. Poor guy was Bederech Rechoka. So the Rambam, again, understands the Mishnah beautifully. The question, according to the Rambam, is, obviously the guy who was outside of the Azorah was impossible for him to come in. He was tied to a tree. He was sick. Whatever it was, he couldn't come. He forgot it was Pesach. He couldn't come. The question is he just an ones, or is he a Bederech Rechoka technically? That's the question. And what difference will it make? Obviously, whether he's Chayav Karis for not bringing the second one, if he does that on purpose. It's brilliant. So Rabbi Akiva says, look, we don't understand what Derech Rechoka means. The whole thing is crazy. So if the Torah says Derech Rechoka, so it means Derech Rechoka. Now we have to understand what Rechoka would mean. The only thing it would mean is that he's too far away to get to the Beis HaMikdash without hiring a helicopter. In other words, again, being as all of the Shiurim in the Torah defined by a primitive human on his own, in normal circumstances, could this ape make it into the Beis HaMikdash or not? He doesn't have a flying helicopter or a flying camel. So therefore, that's how we define it. The normal amount of walking during that time would be 15 kilometers. I'll prove that to you. So if he's 15 kilometers away, that's what the Torah says. Derech Rechoka, man, I don't know from any shtick. Says Rabbi Eliezer, okay. But the point of Derech Rechoka is the difference between being there or not being there. Of course he can't be amazed. So there's got to be a reason that he's not there. But what category is his onus? Is his onus, even if he was right there, he's just an inch away, but he's not in the door, is he still in the category of Derech Rechoka? And only someone who's literally present and is tied up in the Beis HaMikdash? Is that the case? Or is Derech Rechoka literally some magical issue of just not being within range? So that there's within range, then fine, then the dinim don't apply to you. That is the beautiful meaning of the two shitas, according to the Rambam. And as Rabbi Yossi points out, of course, Rabbi Eliezer is talking based on the way the pasuk itself is expressed, because of the dot on the hay, which tells you, extend this crazy idea of Derech Rechoka further than you normally would have. Omar Ula. The actual distance from Modi'in to Yerushalayim is 15 mil, which is about 15 kilometers almost precisely. So that is the shear. And obviously, his analysis is based on the same place that we get the idea of 18 minutes per mil, right? No, we get that. Where do we get that idea from? Every time the Torah gives us per mil, so we're always doing chametz becomes chametz within 18 minutes and so on. This is all interrelated with the good old mil that we had back before, where we were trying to identify how far away is this Tveria from Chamat and so on. It's all the same issues. So it's all Pesach-oriented issues, except that since it's talking about Geula and Pesach, the mocker of the issue obviously has to be Lot when he's coming out from Sodom, which is where we will get to, of course, when you realize what we're talking about. So he's going according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, okay, what does a person walk in a normal day? 10 parsaot. 10 parsaot are 40 mil. So he would normally be able to walk, if he continues to walk all day long, then he would be able to go these 40 kilometers from Alos HaShachar until Netzach Hama. He's able to walk 5 of these kilometers. From Shkiat HaChama till Tzeit HaKochavim, he walks another 5 of those kilometers. Between, and I'll prove it to you in a minute. Now, between the Netzach Hama and noon, he's got 15 out of the remaining 30. And from noon till Shkia, he's got the other 15 of the remaining 30. And that's his day. Now, from that would mean that from Netzach Hama, where he's now dealing with the Chiyuvim of the Korban Pesach Biyom, so now he's got 15 kilometer time-wise, we're expressing our distance as time, which is what we always do with Yera Eh, Yer Eh, which is C squared. And we always interpret that as a time relationship to regel, which is how far you go. So then that means that the 15 kilometers is the definition of the distance, because we don't measure in light years, we measure in your ability to get there to see years. So human light years. Okay. So therefore, it's all very clear. So he's got mitzah for the Palga de Yuma is Chamesar, and Chamesar from Palga de Yuma Urta, and that's the whole thing. How did Ula get the idea of the Derech Rechoka? Ula Lataime, because he holds Derech Rechoka simply means you are physically incapable of getting there without taking some unnatural means, such as putting yourself in some type of aluminum cigar thing and lighting a fire behind your back. So kol she'ino yochol ikanes b'sha'at shchita, that's this year. Now, where do we know that from Alot HaShachar to Metzach Chama is 5 mil? Because it says that it was just as Shachar Ola. So it was at Alot HaShachar that the Malachim start telling Lot, if you don't get out of here now, it's over, baby, it's over. So they're vayaitzu, right? Now, that is the moment that Sdom is about to be destroyed, and Lot has to start running, but he doesn't run. He's very lazy. He walks. Okay. So now he arrives in Tsoar just as Sodom is being destroyed. And it says, when was that? Netzach Chama. Because it says, Hashemesh Yatza ala Aretz, Velot bo Tsoara. And at that very moment, boom, the world explodes around him. His wife looks behind her, the whole business. Okay. So this means you've got the time to escape from Sodom to Tsoar. All we need to do is bring a measuring tape and measure the distance from Sodom to Tsoar. So Rabbi Chanina said, that's exactly what I did. I was the original Barnea's neighborhood, and the Didi Chazileahu Urta, I went to that place, and I measured the distance from Sdom to Tsoar, and I discovered it was precisely Chamisha Milin, it was 5 kilometers. And therefore, given that that's 5 kilometers, so now I know that the rest of the day, put it all together from Alos HaShachar, gives us 40 kilometers, and that would mean that that distance works out to an hour and a half. It's an hour and a half, 90 minutes in the morning, 90 minutes in the evening, and then you've got your 4.5 hours and your 4.5 hours in the morning and evening up till noon, which equals 18 minutes per kilometer. And that's where the whole thing comes from. And it's all very straightforward. As long as you have the information about Sdom to Tsoar, which means that the Geula always comes back to the same roots.